All right, Mike Johnson will join us here in about 5 minutes. Confirm or deny at 5:30. We can't confirm. We're moving confirm or deny around because David Faraday will join us in an hour. We're looking forward to catching up with him. He'll be in Toronto in June. He'll be in Ottawa in June as well. So we'll tell you about that and how you might have a chance to go see David and a bunch of really special guests coming up here through Toronto. So nice. He'll join us in about an hour. The Leafs, I'm sure, on their way down to New York, probably in the air right now. They're playing the Rangers tomorrow night at the Garden. And Jake Muzzin is out with a concussion, so he did not make the trip. And
yeah, he got hit pretty hard the other
night. He got hit hard the other night. Yeah. They isolated it during the telecast, and they're like, he doesn't look so great. You know, he turned the puck over. He looked a little wobbly, for sure.
Well, he missed it behind the net, and then he kind of went back to get it, I think, and that's where he got dung.
Yeah.
So he's
that's
out.
Not good. That's not good for him because he's been struggling to get into a groove, and him and Hall have been kind of off kilter kind of all season long, to be honest, you know. And you hope that he gets right. They give him the time to get right, and then, you know, you're going to need him down the stretch because he's a unique defenseman for them back there because he plays a certain way. And when he's on his game, he's hard to play against. He's heavy, he's mean, he's physical. Like, that's playoff type of hockey. They need Muzzin at his best, so they better make sure that he's managed properly. And they will.
I mean, they will. And Justin doctors. Hall's still out with COVID protocols with Kasha and Richie. So Hall and Muzzin not in New York, won't be playing the Rangers tomorrow night. So that's going to mean more ice time for Sandin, more ice time for Liljegren, more for Dermott, and Biega, I think, will go into the lineup tomorrow night. So it's going to be a challenge because the Rangers have been really good. You know, they've been very good. Their goaltending's been outstanding all year, and it's going to have somewhat of a playoff atmosphere, I'm sure, because both teams, as it currently stands, are going to the playoffs, and the Leafs are going to make the playoffs. I think the Rangers will hold on. I don't see another team in that division catching up to the four guys, the four big boys who are currently in. So it'll be a fun one tomorrow night. And, there's a lot going on in hockey. We'll get back into the Leon Draisaitl, Jim Matheson thing here in a moment with Mike Johnson, but the Habs have named their GM, and it's quicker than I thought it was going to be.
What are you talking about, dude? Like, we're talking about Gorton going in there beginning in November?
Yeah, a couple months now.
Yeah, it's I guess so. I guess my point is Kent Hughes got the job. Is Gorton is the one running everything. Yeah. So if you need to wait till the end of the season to hire GM, like I was kind of expecting that. I wasn't under some impression that it had to be between now and the trade deadline. I'm sure that's beneficial, and clearly Gorton was working under that timeline, or he had Hughes in mind, and once Hughes said I'm willing to take the job, then it was his job.
Yeah, and I like the hire because it's not a flashy person. It's not Patrick Waugh, you know, all the speculation of Waugh or Danny Briere or Roberto Luongo. Like, to me, that those would be noisy hires. Kent Hughes, you ask any random hockey fan, they wouldn't know who he was.
No.
Right? Like, he's, you know, he's a guy really respected and known as a smart guy, obviously, from Quebec, so he speaks the language, which is, you know, a prerequisite, but it's not this big splashy, hey, we're bringing back this guy, or we're
and
doing
I give
that.
Gorton a ton of credit for that, because it easily could have been Patrick Waugh and Danny Briere, president and GM, and they both have that kind of sexy French name, and I got nothing against the sexy French name, so I think Patrick Waugh would have been fascinating for guys like us that cover the sport and to have quotes, but I think Molson just said, I want to get two good hockey people in there, and I think that's what he did. I give him credit for those two hires.
Yeah, Kent Hughes is a longstanding agent. He's been living down in Boston for about 20 years, but he's from Montreal. He's bilingual. Yeah. And I think this just points to what we've already known and what we've always known. Jeff Gorton is running everything, and he wants someone in there that's going to, I'm sure, poke and prod and push, and I don't think Kent Hughes is going to see every player and every transaction and every acquisition the same way that Gorton will. But Gorton was not going to put himself in a position where he was going to be overshadowed or there was going to be a distraction or the media was going to be more fascinated with whoever else was talking, whether
he
it was Waugh, Briere,
or
Luongo. He's making the calls, and he clearly had a lot. He's got the autonomy. Like, Molson came in and said, you figure it out. You know, you decide who you want to bring in here. And he brings in Kent Hughes, who doesn't have any executive history, but, again, has been around the game for a long time. And I'm wondering what this is going to mean for what they end up doing with this team, because the Habs are, this is as ugly as it gets in their history. I don't think they've ever had a season that comes close to resembling this.
And they want it now. Like, don't you think you want it?
But that's the question, Noodles. Now, okay, if you've embraced it, and you do now, because the season's over. There's no point in picking up any wins.
Next year's gone too, Hayes.
That's what I'm saying. Now does it get into scorched earth territory? Is it time for them to say, you know what, anyone we can unload, we got to unload, short of who we want to keep, like Suzuki or Caulfield.
Right. But if you look at it, like, Carey Price is at a reset. Like, now the knee, now it's, they're going to reheal it. Like, that's, you know, there's no Olympics. Like, they're not bringing Carey Price back this year.
No, of course not. But I'm saying, I think they might be thinking, we got to get rid of Carey Price. Petrie's got to go. And let's bring in Johnny. Here's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. How would you handicap the chances of the Montreal Canadiens, their front office, coming to that conclusion, Johnny, that they're going to be awful for 3 or 4 years, awful, scorched earth, get rid of everything, and do you think that would be embraced in that market?
I think I would, better than 50%. Like, I think that is the likely outcome, because while they made the final last year and deserve full credit for it, this team's not that good. They weren't that good last year. They were like 18th in the league. They're mediocre at best. That's with Carey Price playing. So they're not going to win a Stanley Cup that way. And if you want to win a Stanley Cup, which presumably is the goal of any organization, especially one that maybe can withstand financially some darker times, then you probably would be well served to go down that road. I think the fans would be okay with it. You know, if there's an articulated plan and we're going to embark on it, they'll get behind it. The challenge will be, how do you do that when you have Josh Anderson for 5 more years and you have Christian Dvorak for 3 more years and Yoel Armia for 3 more years and Petrie for 3 more years. Like, that's the hard part. Like, Carey Price for several more seasons. You can say you want to do it. You want to strip it down, bare bones, bottom out. But to shed those contracts, Brendan Gallagher, Carey Price, like, that's not going to be easy to do, because I think a lot of those guys are probably not providing excess value on their deals anymore. So that will be the challenge for the new management team. But I think that's probably the direction they should go and probably will go.
But that's the thing. Like, those are good players. Like, that's like, Josh Anderson's a hell of a player. Like, he's had an injury and an inconsistent year. But, I mean, he's a great player. I don't mind him at $5 million.
So was Ryan McDonough back in the day. But Gorton said, you know what, he's kind of at an age where he's a guy that we can get something for and we got to move on from.
Well, that's, I'm saying, like, those are good players you're talking about. Petrie had a terrible year, but I think if you go scorch earth, you got, I mean, Mike Hoffman's got 2 years left on his deal. This is a 35-goal scorer. Like, you're kind of in between. If you have to go scorch earth, you're moving a lot of guys, not just
okay, so
one
Noodle,
or two.
Do right. you think, and, you know, I'm not, there is no right answer. You think you could take, like, trade Josh Anderson no problem for a good return of young players and picks?
I don't know. I mean,
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think so.
You can. I think
I've watched him for 2 years. With, yeah. Like, you know, he's going to get you 22 goals and 14 assists. He makes $5.5 million.
Yeah.
You know,
well, the problem is the term too, Johnny. It's
absolutely.
Like, if there was
for 1 year,
if there
sure.
was, if there was this year and next year, you'd be like, oh, that's juicy. But you're
absolutely.
Like, man, I don't want to live with the fourth and fifth.
But the one thing that comes with Josh Anderson, he's a different type of player. Like, you're looking at stats. He's a big, strong guy too. There's a premium that comes with the physicality. A guy who can fight. A guy who can be a great penalty killer. Like, there's different things. If you're just looking at statistical things, like, oh, goals and assists. Yeah, it's a 20 goal scorer for $5 million a year. That's a pretty good. That's not a bad. It's not a bad contract. The length of it is bad, but the player is a good player.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched him for 2 years. I've seen him in Columbus. He has flashes of brilliance. No question he brings some of those physical intangibles, but that's a lot of intangibles for 5 more years. Anyways, to me, like, Brendan Gallagher, he's been an amazing Montreal Canadian.
Right.
You have to respect all that he's done, and, like, he has sacrificed his body for that team. He's got 5 more years at 6.5. He's 29 years old. Can you move that contract? I don't think you can. Like, I don't think you can just, like, say, hey, give me a first rounder for Brendan Gallagher. Like, even, no. Or take nothing. Like, I think you almost have to take a bad contract back, given where the cap is, given how all the teams are so tight to a cap, the age is the term. This will be the challenge if they decide to strip it down. I don't think, I personally don't think all those guys are easy to move.
Well, no, they're not going to be. You can't expect to get rid of every single guy we're naming here, you know, and get right. legitimate value back. Like at some point, I'm sure you could pick a couple and say there are certain teams that would respect what that player brings, and maybe it's not the complete value that Gorton would want. But what Gorton does have, and what Kent Hughes would have now as the new GM, is you've got Bergevin still as a shield for I think a minimum year or two, where you can just say, go look up capfriendly.com. Like, go look it up, because these guys are locked in on dirt on deals, and they're expensive. You know, like Drouin's got 2 years left. Now Drouin he's had issues in terms of his personal life, in terms of just finding right. the moment in Montreal, but it hasn't worked for him. Anderson's locked in, Hoffman's locked in, Dvorak's locked in, Armia's locked in. Yeah, I mean Petrie's locked in, David Savard's locked in. You go down the list, Gallagher's locked in. It's a long list. Toffoli's locked in. Edmondson's locked in. Like, who isn't locked in? Did Bergevin give a 1 or 2 year deal to anybody? Or did everyone just get a 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 year deal?
He went Oprah crazy. Winfrey. Year for you and a year for you.
Chiarot's the only guy, really. I mean, Chiarot, the guy who would have value at the deadline.
He's an easy trade to make. But
Savard you could trade, too, I think, even at that value. I don't know what
the UFAs. But that makes sense. That's easy. I think you'd probably trade Tyler Toffoli quite easily. You probably could trade Joel Edmondson if he was healthy. I mean, he hasn't played this year, right, Joel Edmondson?
Yeah.
He's flat a back. His dad just passed away. He's gone through a lot. But he's not played one game. So, yeah, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. I'll be very curious, though, to hear what the press conference sounds like tomorrow in, you know, what is the vision? Because for the longest time, it's like, just get us in the playoffs. We have Carey Price. We'll take our chances. And last year, that's exactly what happened. Carey Price was awesome for 3 rounds, and they got to the final in a weird year. That doesn't feel like a sustainable idea, especially as everyone's getting older. So what's the vision? Why was Kent Hughes hired? What were his ideas that separated him from the other candidates that made more sense for the Canadiens? I'm curious to hear that.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. Mm-hmm. And yeah. You're not going to – everyone isn't going to go, and I don't think that that's wise. And I think that's what you're saying, Noodles. Like, there's some guys you're
going to
want.
Well, I'm just saying it's a big job because you're – like, my point was it's a big job. Like, if you just go scorched earth, like, I think they're – this is the team that's lost the most man games, the most COVID, most everything. Like, you have no idea what this team is because the event haven't had a chance to play. But they're not as bad as last place in the team – last place in the league if they had all of their players healthy. So what are they? If they're, like you said, MJ, if they're an 18th, 16th place team, if that's not the vision, so do you have a garage sale? Well, it's tough to move out, you know, half the guys on those deals. So there has to be almost what Gorton may have done in New York. Hey, we're going to scorch earth it, but it's a reset, a retool, and maybe be aggressive in certain areas and be aggressive moving players out in other areas.
Well, and you got to pick who's my Chris Kreider that I'm sticking with.
Right.
Like, who's my guy that guy's going to score me 35 when we turn this around in 2 or 3 years?
Right.
And right now, because everything looks so awful, you can't find it. You know,
right.
Like you look at every player on the last place team in the league, you're like, that guy's terrible, that guy's done, that guy's awful. And that's
right.
not the truth. That's not reality. That's, you know, so that's the determination that has to be made. And it's not going to be an easy
one. Big job.
And again, Bergevin, you got that shield for like a year and a half, maybe.
Yep.
And then it's going to be like, okay, what else you got? You know, we're not living off that anymore. You've been here for a while, Jeff Gorton. What can you say?
Yeah.
What can you bring to the table?
What can you do? Or what have you done? You know, you can only say we were painted in the corner for so long before you got to figure out a way to get out of that corner. But the fact also that Kent Hughes got a 5-year contract tells you that they understand it's going to be a little time before it's all kind of straightened away to kind of unravel and then build back up. So, I mean, you talk about, though, just to get a sense of perspective, the leading goal scorer on Montreal Canadiens has 7 goals. 7 goals. We're halfway through the year. So it's, you know, Jesus. Everybody has struggled. Everyone's had a hard time, and no one has looked as good as they actually are. So you'll be selling low if you try to sell.
Yeah. That's for sure. That's where the Habs currently stand. But if they end up winning a lottery, that's going to go a long way too. And that can add to some positivity. You get into it, you win it, you draft Shane Wright. You're in it for a couple of those kids next year with Bedard, the Russian kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, then things can turn maybe in 2 years. And I think that fan base is probably bracing for that.
Drafted Montreal, too, this summer. So
that's right.
Wouldn't that be something?
Hopefully
we're there.
Yeah.
We're going. Nice. We're making our way there. We have to. By July,
one way or another. You'll be there.
Yeah. We got to be there. And if you're lucky, you draft the McDavid, you draft the Draisaitl, and then you get in arguments with the media in 7 or 8 years. And it's maybe what will be the future in Montreal. So let's play this, Johnny, because we played it about an hour ago. It's a new audience. I know you've heard it, but Jim Matheson, longtime scribe out in Edmonton, and Leon Draisaitl, they got into it this afternoon. Let's play the full clip. We'll come back and we'll get your response to it.
Lots of reasons for why the Oilers are playing the way they are in terms of winning and losing. What do you think is the number one reason for the losses now? Is there one thing that you, in your own mind, you're saying, we got to get better at that?
Yeah, we have to get better at everything.
Would you like to expand on that?
Nope. You can do that. You know everything.
Why are you so pissy, Leon? Why are you so pissy?
I'm not. I'm just answering your
question. Yeah, you are. Whenever I ask you a question.
I gave you an answer.
Not very good one.
Okay.
I have one more for you. Leon, you show your frustration on the ice last game against Ottawa. Is that a good thing when you show it so the other team knows you're frustrated?
Yeah, it's a great thing, for sure.
Good.
Yeah.
We're good. We're good. Moving on. What do you make of that whole scene, Johnny?
Okay, I got a few thoughts to unpack here, okay? One, like, I know Leon a little bit. He's actually a bright, kind of articulate, open-minded, thoughtful guy. So I think, you know, his terse response shows how frustrated he is. He has no obligation to give long-winded answers. Like, he was obviously not in a great mood. I don't know if there's a history between Matheson and him. Felt like there was, because the first question that Matheson asked seemed okay, except a little bit leading, like, almost like, can say the goaltending, say the coach, like, point, right, like, sewer someone, and for him to say we have to get better at everything, that's actually a good thing to say, because you don't want to single out any individual or coach or area, or depth forwards have to score more. Like, then he's a bad leader as well. So I don't mind the first response, like, kind of being short, we have to get ready everything. But but then pissy is not a good word for any question to be used. But I also don't mind media pushing back on players. Like, I think a lot of times players know that the media are kind of beholden to them. They want to curry favor with them. And they're not very often asked maybe a secondary question or follow-up. And maybe it wasn't pissy, but like, you know, you seem to be short today. You know,
it's none of his business, though,
Johnny.
Where's
it coming from?
Is he stupid? Does he not know that they've been losing a bunch and they've been sitting around not playing games? What, is he dumb? Like, why are you pissy? Why do you think, Tim? Because we haven't won. We haven't won.
James.
Right.
James.
But I think you could ask that question and get that from Leon in his words. That's what you want to hear. Like, you obviously know the answer, but you're saying, you know, explain to me, like, how are you feeling with how the season's gone on? Like, you're trying to get out of his words. The answer is obvious. But the way he asked it, I don't quite agree with. But I don't mind going back at a player. If the player gives you a crap answer, ask him again. I don't mind that from the media side. You know everything, probably not a great look on Leon's side. So frustration kind of bubbling over on both guys. I think both probably could have handled it better. But I don't mind, like, players do not owe the media long-winded answers.
Right.
Or, like, you know, expansive, like, you want to give them nothing? You can give them nothing. I'm only here not to get fined. You don't have to give them anything. But I also don't mind the media guy pushing back. But they probably both got a little bit personal there. And it was no longer kind of a professional, albeit, even if it's a tense, short exchange, it should still kind of stay professional, and it didn't on either side.
Yeah, I'm trying to get some context. I shot a few notes out there to people who were on the call. Apparently, like, that was Matheson's, like, fourth question. Like, it wasn't like, apparently Leon gave him a long-winded question, the first question. And then Jimmy kind of doubled down, and then by question three, it got terse. So,
yeah.
You know, again, like, I didn't like I didn't like Jimmy leading him, but I also didn't like Leon going, well, you know everything, too.
Right.
So it got personal, so then now I got pissy. Like, that's the thing. I don't like to describe saying, well, why are you so pissy? Now, all of a sudden, it's like, okay, now we're going to take this to the mat here and get ugly. You could see the frustration.
Deja vu out there, though, isn't it? Like, there's frustration on both sides. And the journalist is not supposed to show their emotion.
Right.
You know,
they have to keep it above board. That's the kind of their responsibility as the professional. I will say this, Noodles, I did the same thing. I'm like, I sent some notes out there. I'm like, what is going on there? Am I missing something? Like, that seemed to escalate very quickly. But so what I gather is that, you know, some of those media members, and maybe Jim Mast is one of them, he's trying to take a hard line with Leon or come back at Leon, but they don't do that with the coach. They don't do that with the management. So you want to ask me, like, what's the one thing we're losing? Then you got to ask Ken Holland, like, how come the depth players you signed have been so bad this year? Don't ask Leon to say why they've been bad. Ask the guy who brought them in. Don't ask Leon to say why our goaltending hasn't been good enough. Ask the guy who brought the goalies there why they're not good enough. So I think that maybe is a little bit of the root where, you know, they ask Connor and Leon, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong? And they can't say, well, our team's not that good. Like, our team's not good enough beyond us, right? Because that would be a selfish teammate thing to say. But I think there is some growing frustration of that. And maybe that's where some of the background is, like why that kind of got hot quickly, because they think they're getting asked these kind of direct questions, but maybe the people who should be getting asked them are not.
Yeah, that's reasonable. That's the problem is Ken Holland only speaks every once in a while, right? Like he spoke
last week, and I they kind of asked a couple questions, but there was not like, you know, pointed follow-ups. You went and got Duncan Keith for his leadership and play. Has he provided the leadership and play that move was thought to bring in? Like, ask him. Like, you know, ask him. You, Mike Smith was 40 years old. Did you need to give him a multi-year deal? Were you worried about his age? You know, but like, ask him. Ask him straight out and make him give you an answer, and not just talk about, you know, the back in Detroit dealing with this, that, and the other. I think that's where some of the frustration is coming from.
Well, and I said it earlier, Johnny. I've seen this script play out. It played out in Toronto for a long time, where there was always animosity, there was always bitterness, there was media going at players, fans throwing things on the ice, and it always became this three-ring circus between the players, the media, and the fans, and it always omitted the front office, who I believe is actually responsible for the frustration, where – you know, I know it's going to happen in Edmonton. People are going to say that the media is running Leon out of town, you know, or the fans are running McDavid out of town. Ken Holland and the ownership are going to run them out of town if it's going to happen, because the goaltending isn't good enough and the team isn't good enough. That's not the media's fault. That's not the fans' fault. If you can't build a winner, what are they into season seven? McDavid's into season seven, and they're currently on the outside of the playoffs looking in. So talk, you know, look up. Don't look out. That's the issue right now.
And I could see where that would be frustrating. Leon just has 3 years left on his deal. And Leon, as I was saying, you know, when having spoken to him, like, he won't feel kind of compelled. It's a good old Canadian boy playing in a Canadian city, to do what's right. Like I'm not saying he's there, but it would not stun me to have him come up and privately say, it's not happening here. I am on the biggest value contract in the NHL, and we can't put a team together that it allows us to compete. Because as you wonder, you make such a good point. When a team struggles, is it because like the players are absolutely underachieving or not trying or not engaged? Or is it the fact that maybe the team's just not good enough? And if the team's just not good enough, whose fault is that? Who bears that responsibility?
That's the part of the problem, Johnny, is they've been saying that forever, and they thought they addressed it. Zach Hyman bringing in guys that could score in depth. And it's just a gong show again. That's where the frustration comes in.
Well, let me add, how do you evaluate a team when you don't have 900 goaltending?
You can't, Jamie. You can't.
But who brought the goalies in?
But I'm just saying, how do you evaluate anything when you're not getting average? Like, if players lived up to their capability, we just talked about it with Montreal. Like, their lead goal scorer has 7 goals. You would expect more out of Mike Hoffman and Caulfield and whoever. Like, they've had a derailed season. I'm looking at Edmonton. How do you break down Hyman's season where Fogel has fit in. You know, Derek Ryan, all of these guys, if, you know, Duncan Keith's productions, Cody Ceci's numbers, like, if they're not getting what they would expect as far as, you know, average or better than average play in certain positions. So it's hard to evaluate a team when, because you can look at other teams and go, man, the goaltender, yes, the goaltender's part of the team, but if you have good goaltending, it masks a lot of some of the deficiencies.
It's the biggest issue out there, without question.
Right, so,
without question,
I mean, I'm not laying, like, it's easy for me to go, well, you need more saves, but it is a big part. It's the biggest part in hockey, and your team has to help you out from a structure standpoint, but you need saves. I went through their last 15 games. Their goaltenders have been outplayed every night. Like, not just, like, it's not just here or there. Like, I watch Toronto every night, too. Jack Campbell gives his team a chance to win when it's needed. That's that goes with confidence of the group. So when you look at evaluating teams, I look at Jacob Markstrom in Calgary. If Calgary has an off night, that he's capable of standing on his head. He's that good. So you're right. It's roster construction, but where are they? What is that team when they're capable of playing average or better? That's the question.
Well, I just say this, Noodles. You're right, especially the confidence part, because when you win games, even if you play poorly because the goalie, like, everyone feels a bit better about himself and they sustain it. Right. But if your job is to evaluate a team, and like, you have people that can do this and filter out the noise of a goaltender. Like, you know, guys may be on for more goals against than they should, but if it's not their fault because the goalie's not playing well, like, I can do that. I can watch a team, and I can dig in the numbers, and I can do a relatively accurate job of who's playing well and who's not, independent of the goalie's performance. Now, confidence is a bit of a tricky thing. That's harder to maybe quantify.
Right.
But I think you can do that. And if you did that with Edmonton, I don't think it would end, well, the goalies haven't been good enough, so that other than that, we're totally fine. I don't think that's where it ends.
I agree with you 100%. I'm just saying it's you know, I think Matheson, coming back to Jimmy, like, he was leading the witness. He was like, he wanted Leon to go.
He wanted him to sewer somebody.
I need our power play. I need this. Like, he wanted something, and he didn't get it. And, you know, Leon got pissy, and that's where we are.
And then
right
he
now.
Got pissy. They both
and
got
then he
pissy.
Got pissy. They both got pissy.
It's just a pissy match.
Pissy situation.
It's a pissy situation. It's not a good scene out there at all. We'll leave it there, Johnny, and we'll do it again later this week. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.